Begin. We're up to Mizmor Tzadik Gimel. We started yesterday the first pasuk. Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh Lovesh Hashem Os Hisazar Aftikon Hei Baltimot. Okay, this is a very hard pasuk. Okay, this is a difficult pasuk. Hashem Moloch. We discussed a lot of yesterday that Hashem Moloch over here that the Mos Hamashiach. There is still what to accomplish because it's only Moloch in the past tense. The beginning, it was Hashem Yimloch, and now it's Hashem Moloch. But we're not yet holding at the time of Hashem Moloch. That is the ultimate Geus Lovesh. Hashem has dressed himself in the midah of Geus. Geus means gaiva, but does not mean a gaiva in a bad way. It means a gaiva in a good way. It means exaltedness. And then it says two more words: Lovesh Hashem. Hashem has dressed himself again. It does not tell you in what. Maybe it means Lavesh. Hashem has dressed himself in Hashem. Now I'll tell you a joke. Not a joke. I'm not a joke.
Why can't he dress himself in his azor
is a verb. It cannot be. The word Lavesh is a verb. Lavesh means to get dressed. Hashem oz is a noun. Hashem, of course, is a noun, and his azar is a verb. He girds himself. He girds and he gets dressed. Hashem, in might, he gets dressed.
In might, he girds himself.
So therefore, you have to break it up. We learned yesterday two mahalchim. Either it's going to be Hashem Moloch, period. Geos Lavesh, period. Lavesh Hashem, period. Ha'oz his azar, period. Or now, if that's the case, I think there's something very deep over here. If you read it like that, which I think some of the farshim seem to read, Lovesh Hashem means Hashem dressed himself in himself. Let me give you an example. Okay, this is a nasty example, but not really. There's a yeshiva that I'm very much familiar with, Rabbi Chol Ahom, where the Rosh Yeshivas of this yeshiva, they're clean shaven. And they dress like regular people. You wouldn't know that they're in charge, that they're the boss. One year on Purim, they came into the Beis Medrash. Don't even recognize them. They came dressed up in Purim like Rosh Yeshivas, with professional. We're dealing over here with Hollywood clothing. The professionals made them up. I have the pictures on my phone. It goes unbelievable, with this white beard. And dressed like mamish, nice clothing with kapata, cost a fortune, kapata and a hamburger, up hat. Really, really amazing. So I made a comment, and I said, this is the only yeshiva in the world where the Russia yeshivas get dressed up like Russia yeshivas. You understand? You hear the words?
Yeah, I get it.
Where do you have a yeshiva in the world where the people who are the Russia yeshiva, they get dressed up on Purim as Russia yeshivas? It's funny almost. So I want to say it's not so funny. That's what this pasuk means. Lavesh Hashem is a garment. Hashem in this world, Hashem is always hiding himself. V'anoichi haster aster panai b'yoy mahu. We have so many stories in the Gemara where there's a person walking in the street. He looks like a pauper. He's ill, he's all bandaged up, and he goes over and he says something to one of the Amoroyim, and then they go back and they look for him. Where was that person who told me this information? He's nowhere to be found. Oh, you know who that was? It was Eliyahu Hanavi, the most unassuming person you've ever saw, almost unassuming person that you would imagine. Oh, he's Eliyahu Hanavi, he's the Melech HaMashiach. He's this, he's that. The Ribbono Shel Olam for the last 5,784 years has been hiding, has been dressed up in a Purim costume like an ordinary person, like the last person in the world you would imagine. The Ribbono Shel Olam is here. Hashem does not come in the presence of a human being, but I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's hiding. The Anoichi Hastir Aster Panai. In the times of Mashiach, Hashem will dress himself in himself. The Rosh Hashiva will get dressed up like a Rosh Hashiva. Hashem will dress himself in godliness. It will be visible. Zekeli v'anveyu. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam. the way you expect Hashem to appear is the way Hashem will appear. We have all over that Hashem appears as a gibor milchama. Hashem appears sometimes as zokein moli rachamim. Hashem appears there's a medrash that says it goes through all the different situations, all the different revelations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in history. But yet, in all of the revelations of history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he appears, he's not appearing as God. He's appearing as a Gibor Milchama, Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shemo. Hashem appears as a Zokim by Har Sinai. Hashem appeared as a Zokim, as a Chocham. I don't remember all the Mamori Chazal, but
every. What it means, be who said Melech HaKadosh, you know, the way. I mean, who is that?
There's never been a time in history where Hashem appears as Hashem. Hashem is always appearing as somebody else. Why? That's how Hashem made the world. In order to give a person an opportunity to find, the whole world is one big game of hide and seek. That's the old Vart. This whole world is a game of hide and seek. Hashem hides himself, and we're always looking for him. But ultimately, the day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take off the costume, and Hashem is going to appear as himself. He's going to get dressed up as the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's maybe what it means here. Hashem Moloch, Geus Lovesh. Now we're at a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting dressed up in the garments of exaltedness. And then comes the ultimate. Loveish Hashem. Hashem is getting dressed in himself as appearing as the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Kalman?
There's no levush here. These are tchunot, qualities. Hashem can be ge'eh. Hashem can be oz, like power. In Ish Milchama or Baal Rachamim, it's not that he
changes
himself. He doesn't change. He's the same as them, but he acts like.
Of course, there's not. That's a.
Right. That's it. We're talking about he talks here about Levush. Levush. There's no Levush here. No, Hashem is the same thing. But the Tchuna is changes as needed. As needed.
There's no such thing as Hashem having anything physical. When it says a Levush, that's a given. Levush means the way he reveals himself in the spiritual way.
I have a theme on this. And the way I understood it is that we cannot observe Hashem, we can observe his mitos and learn about Hashem from the interaction with those mitos.
Right, that of course. I think that's self-understood. But at Kriyas Yam Suf, what was Hashem's mitos? How did Hashem, the situation, it was Hashem gibor milchama.
Right.
The mitos.
Hashem yilachem lachem. And he does it.
There are different situations, different time.
The Gemara is also part of his midah.
Okay, there are different revelations of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There are different situations, and right, the levush, of course, it doesn't mean physical garments. Of course not. It means the midos. I think of Kalman and Rav Mechola saying the same thing.
Yeah.
It means Hashem's midas, the way Hashem conducts this world. Things happen. There are events that are happening in this world that are not under our control, that we see that there is divine intervention. Hashem is calling the shots. Things are happening. Hashem is influencing leaders, world leaders, or things to happen in this world. And it is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and these events have a certain flavor, a certain character, a certain midah, and sometimes it's a midah of gevura, sometimes it's a midah of chokhmah, it's a midah of rachamim, it's a midah of all different types. But then there's also a midah of just of godliness, whatever that means. Well, that's geos.
Yeah.
That's geus. But I'm saying there's another midah. I'm trying to suggest that there is another midah, just like there is a midah of rachamim, a midah of oiz, a midah of gevura, a midah of geus. There is a midah of godliness, Hashem. There's such. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. But there is a midah of ani Hashem. What? Melech Malchei Hamalachim. There is a midah of, I think we all have a little bit of a sense of what that is, but it's impossible to define in words. There is a midah of Hashem. So there's two different types of levush. There is a geus lovesh. Hashem dresses, he reveals himself, a manifestation of Hashem's midah is of geus. And then there is the lovesh Hashem. It is a form of levush. Okay, then there is another midah of ois his azar. Okay, so there are three different types of garments Hashem is wearing. He's wearing the garment of geus, the garment of ois, that's the belt, and then there is the garment of godliness of Hashem. Av tikon tevo bal timot, and then we had a machlokes, two different interpretations. Does this mean it's going to be in hindsight? We will then realize that the world came so close to collapsing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we came to the rescue. Or does it mean that now, at this point going forward, or maybe it means that we're going back to the time of Maisa Bereishis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, Av tikon tevel bal timot, that will not collapse. We live in the modern times, listen to the news, modern times, in the secular news, they're always telling you that global warming, there's global warming, and if we are going to continue to drive gasoline cars, carbon emissions, then the world will come to an end. The North Pole is going to melt, and the United States is going to be underwater, and we're going to be all on fishing boats, the rest of the world, and therefore we have to rise up and save the world. And say the way we save the world is you have to give up all of your money and surrender to the government, because they are going to save the world for you. Now, I'm not over here coming over. This is not a share for to talk about the merits and the nonsense of these type of arguments. But all over Tanakh, you have this thing is Af Tikon Tevel Baltimot. Don't worry so much about the world. Don't worry so much. You definitely get the impression if you are a maimon in the Torah HaKadosha, you get the impression where the Torah says, "Don't worry about the world. The world existed before you came here." And it'll exist long after you're gone. Don't be so worried about global warming and things that are totally not under your control. Hashem created the world in such a way that it knows how to heal itself and it can deal with all the problems. Hashem made a world that's not going to falter. It's not going to disintegrate. Should we be worried that asteroids are going to come from outer space and smash into the earth and turn into smithereens? It seems not. It seems Hashem says, Av tikon tevel, Hashem established a world, bal timot, it's not going to collapse so quickly. There's a lot of chokhmah, just like a human being is mole v'godosh chokhmah. Scientists don't even begin to scratch the surface of the wisdom that is built into to a human being. The wisdom that exists in this world of how everything works is just, it's mind-boggling. If Hashem made this sophistication, Ad Kedei Kach, he certainly knows how to maintain it, that you don't have to worry about anything, all these things. All right, now, we did it, the Targum, we did it. Now, I want to read one little short passage. You see, we have a whole page of Malbim. Okay, believe it or not, I tried my best to appear just a little bit, this Malbim. I want to skip pretty much the whole thing. I don't think it's really relevant for us. It's a little bit way too technical. But there is one part I really like. I want to read that part. It's in the middle paragraph. It's smack in the middle of the page, on page 844, smack in the middle of the page, where it says here, there's one short line over here, V'gama tevu hu neis kavudus. That's the whole line. There's one few words. He's describing over here that there is miracles, and there is nature. In the middle of the page where it says what umivoar, that paragraph, if you go in that paragraph down four lines, towards the end of the line, he writes here, v'gam hateva hu neis kavua, v'haneis hu teva aroiis. That's the whole thing I want to read. Everything else is just packaging. And he says a very fascinating principle. We all know, what's the difference between a miracle, kriyas yamsuf, and nature? It's just a matter of the terminology. No chidushim here, just the terminology. Nature. So what is nature? Science. Trust the science. Okay, that's right. There is science. Just make sure
the real
science, not the make-believe science. Okay, not science fiction.
Not political science.
Not political science, not science fiction, not egomaniacs, not wicked people, just the real. There is obviously science in this world. There are certain rules of how this world works. So who makes those rules? Why is it so? Why is it so that there's gravity? Why is it so that the sun rises in the east, sets in the west, at least from our perspective? Why is it that there's fire and water, everything? Why? So that's how it is. That's the science. So who made the science? So the answer is, I mean, this is elementary stuff. They tell us in kindergarten is Hashem made it. It's an ace. The rules of science are God's will, that this is the way the earth, this is the way nature should operate. So what's then the difference between a miracle when the yam splits, when Hashem brings 10 makos, when all these supernatural things event? So that's also Hashem's will.
Against the rules of science.
So what does that, what does it mean it's against, if science itself is a miracle, how then is a miracle different than a miracle than science? If we're religious and we understand that nature is a creation of God, it doesn't mean that God just picked himself up and ran away. He set some rules, he put some rules of science in this world, and that's it, he's out of here. That's how the course is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is our hashgaf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, science continues to operate every single moment because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wills it to be. So the truth is, if I go and I take this tissue box and I let go and it falls on the table, that's a miracle. I can do it a million times, the same thing is going to happen. Every time that I do this, it's a miracle. Why? Why is that a miracle?
No, because it follows the law.
But what is, who made that law? Who made that law?
Hashem
made that law.
A miracle is something that defines beyond
that. And just a matter of terminology, but the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu find it, it's all a matter of terminology. So it's a matter of terminology. Nothing more than that. He said something very interesting, is that what we call a miracle is just basically this is terminology.
Nature is a miracle.
Nature is a nes kavua, and what we call a miracle is the nes arai. That's all I want to say. Everything is a miracle. Everything is a miracle. Okay? Nature is a miracle because what is a miracle in our language?
It's God wants it to be. A miracle is because we can't understand everything about it, and therefore it's baffling.
But
to
do we understand science?
Therefore, it's miraculous to us.
So why isn't gravity miraculous to us? We're just used to it.
That's right.
We're just used to it. But the truth is, the principles of gravity are what are they resting upon? Why do they operate? Why is it that when a mass produces a magnetic pull, pulls something down? Why? Why when I let go of this, does it drop onto the table? Because the earth is massively large, and it creates a force, and when you let go, naturally, it's drawn to it. So we're just used to that. We're used to that. But who willed it? Who wills that this mitzvah should be Hashem? So when the yam splits, kriyas yamsuf, so what is that? Hashem wants it to be. Do we understand how it works? No, Hashem wants it to be. So you started saying that anything that's not science is a miracle. But science itself is a miracle. So all we want to say over here is, I love what he writes over here, is that everything is a miracle. The only difference is nature is a permanent miracle. It is an ongoing miracle that is consistently happening again, 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 forever. When the yam splits, it's a temporary miracle.
Yeah.
That's all. So, the terminology, temporary miracle versus a permanent miracle. I never heard that before. I find that to be a unique expression, yeah.
I always go back to the Maharal for explaining it, which is not really a whole lot different, but in his terms, the way I paraphrase it, is that Hashem built an elastic clause into nature where the laws of nature are suspended and temporarily, and a nace ensues.
Okay, so that's the way So what you're saying, it's not exactly.
It's all a miracle. The oil burns is a miracle.
Oh, right. But that's not what Rabbi Chol is saying.
I know he's not what he's saying.
Oh.
He's saying the half.
Right. So what Rabbi Chol is saying is a very standard way of understanding. Rabbi Chol is saying is the common way we look at miracles. Hashem created a certain order of nature, of science, and it has a life of its own, basically. And then when a miracle happens, there is a clause in the laws of nature, an escape clause. Escape?
Elastic.
Okay, an elastic clause, I'm not sure I know what that means. It means that there are exceptions. That when Hashem wants the laws,
bend the rules.
Okay, that is a very common, and that's the way, in my mind, I understand it, because that's the perception, the way a human being perceives this world. There are rules, and the rules are so fixed and so permanent and so accurate, we get the impression that Hashem is not even involved anymore. That's human nature. Human nature is Hashem created science. There's a world. If Hashem will go on vacation, kaviyachol, this will be courses. But that's the way it appears to us. If Hashem goes on vacation, the laws of nature go on. Hashem put into motion a set of rules, a world which operate by the rules of science, and that's it. Hashem is just standing above and is watching. And Hashem is allowing the earth, the rules, to operate on their own. And if Hashem wants to intervene, he steps in and he says, stand down, I want to go do something special today and I want to break the rules. That is the common way we look at nature and miracles.
Like a computer program. You were a computer program.
Nature, let it go.
Nature is a computer program.
Right? And Hashem is just supervising. He's a supervisor. He's there above and he's just observing, making sure everything is going according to plan. And if something needs a bit of an adjustment, there's the Hoiro Asha. So Hashem Hashem created a way where he can intervene and suspend the rules of nature and do what we call miracles. You're right. That's the common way we look at it, because we're human.
But then we're not supposed to believe.
So
everything that's happening is.
That's a higher madrega. You have to be a very big. You have to be on a higher madrega to see that's a bal madrega. To see that it's not the pshat that Hashem created a computer program and let the computer program run. No, Hashem is actively every time an act of nature or science goes forward, it is Hashem's yad. It's not that Hashem put things into motion and he's a supervisor. Hashem is actively causing that. When I let go of this tissue box, it is Hashem who directly is intervening and pushing it down onto the table. Then what happens when there's a miracle, when the yam splits? So that's the same thing. Hashem in this instance is doing a different miracle. This is what the Malbim is saying. The Malbim is saying is everything is a miracle. Nature is not a computer program that is operating on its own, and Hashem is the supervisor. That's not the pshat, according to the Malbim. The pshat is nature is a miracle. Hashem is directly involved. And if I let go of this, it falls to the table. And when the yam splits, that is a direct miracle. The only difference is one will call a nes kavua, and one is a nes arai. It is a nes kavua that shemen yadlik. It is a nes arai that choymeitz is yadlik. It's a nes arai. It's an interesting way of looking at it. It's a different perspective of looking at miracles and nature. It's not the common way to look at nature. Mr. Marillus and Rabbi Chol, of course, what you're saying is the way the common man looks, and maybe there is something to it. Obviously, it's not to be expected a person should be a Malach Elokim and be able to have such such emuna. But Chazal, like you said, Dr. Dov pointed out, Nish Amar Shahashem and Yaliku Yomar Sheh Hachoymeitz Yalik. That is very much in line with the Malm over here is saying. But the Malm over here is giving us this advantage of using terms which are very, at least, interesting. The Gam Hateva Hunes Kavua. The Hanes, what we call a miracle, Huteva Arois. He's switching. He's switching the term around. Look, it's very beautiful what he does. He takes this like you know this is like a classic expression over here. How he takes the terms and he plays with it. Just these few words. The gam hateva is a nes kavua. The hanes huteva arois. That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Word line.
Part of the
nace.
Teva is
a nace. Teva is a nace, but it's a nace kavua. And a nace is a teva arois. This is a beautiful expression. This is like a classic.
He's saying
nace
is a
teva. They're all the same. Yeah. He's basically playing with us. He's playing with us and he's telling us nature science is a miracle. And a miracle is science. What's then the difference between them? One is kavua and one is arai. I am science. Remember Fauci? I am science.
He took it from the Zatsuk. Ach, the conte vel bal timon. This is it. Hashem, this one, Yehi te vel, whatever it is. The fact that Kadura Aret is hanging in the air and he never falls. And he's in good faith, and all this. This is
after Kol
Tevel
Bal Timot.
It's right here.
Rav Kamo, you're saying is that the pasuk is mash like a mechol. The pasuk Aftikon Tevel means you put it in motion, and I'm the supervisor. You do the world. You know the truth. A parent has a child. You don't go control their every move. You raise and you want the child to stand on its own. I'm here to be a supervisor, to overlook, to oversee. This pasuk, you take the pasuk at face value, it sounds like what Machol is saying is Hashem created science, he put the world into motion, and it's perfect. And I'm just gonna watch. I'm gonna stand aside and let it operate.
It needs corrections when they're necessary.
No, there's no need for any corrections. No. That's not
stand aside. No one said stand aside. That's not even
supervise.
That's
a supervisor.
It is
that's involved in everything we do.
Don't we say that in the
Modin? Every okay, but. Okay, I agree with you that it's up to courses, but you have to understand is that from our perspective, by default, that's the way it seems. No? Isn't that the way it seems? Ramachol, didn't you say this?
By default, we have after courses.
Yeah, that's a pretty...
I did not say God stands aside.
Hashem created a world. Hashem created the laws of science, the laws of physics,
the laws of nature,
and these rules, it operates, it goes, it just moves,
yes,
it's an operation. And then when there's a miracle, what is the simple way of understanding a miracle? Hashem is now breaking the rules of nature. He's breaking the rules, bending them to bring about a result. So what does that mean exactly? It sounds like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much involved is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the actual laws of nature, the operation?
That's the problem with Bechira. That's what the Abravanel said.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So how do you define then Bechira? So that's why what the Abravanel says, what he just started to say, was when we daven in the morning, I'm a chadish b'tuva b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. There's a checklist. Do I still need this? Do I still need this? He talks about Korach. What would have happened had Korach backed down? and the ground didn't have to open up and swallow them all. He said, you know, Moshe, you're right, I have tarata, I changed my mind. God looks at it and says, okay, we don't need the ground to open up today, because what were you going to say? They're all standing there, the ground was going to open up anyhow?
No.
It wasn't, so obviously not. So we have the Bechira, Koach, God prepares, so if God wants something to happen, all right? So now if somebody had, let's say, somebody had killed Moshe Rabbeinu, right, somebody had done away with him somewhere, so somebody else would have had to be the Shliach.
Ezra, Gemara's Beferish.
Right.
If Moshe wouldn't have brought down the Torah in Hashemam, Ezra would have brought it down from Hashemam.
That's the point. God wants the Torah to be given, somebody's going to do it. If not, you harbe shluchim l'makom. That's what we said.
Im hacharesh tacharishi bo'ez hazrevach v'yatzol al yamud la'yehudim mimimokoyim acher.
That's it.
So we don't take advantage, someone else takes advantage.
Result that I need to happen,
there is bechira.
Somebody will do it.
Okay, these are all very, very deep things.
Yeah,
the only thing I really, my goal was, I am enamored with this line. This line leaps off the page, how he looks at nature and miracles and nature. Everything in this world is a miracle. The laws of nature, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he wills the laws of nature should operate. That is a miracle. The only difference is, that is a miracle that happens continuously. What we call a miracle is temporary, but it's all the same. And the language he uses is v'gam ha-teva. What is nature? Hunes kavua. It's just a permanent, ongoing miracle. And what is what we call a miracle? What we call a miracle is a temporary act of nature.
We have to redefine miracle. Miracle means an act of God.
Okay, an act of God, what we call an act of God. Something unusual, something which is not this, which is not predictable. Nature is predictable.
Well, that's why
what he's saying is everything's in ace, and by definition, ace, everything is an act of God, everything's a miracle, and either one is permanent or one is
temporary. Exactly.
Everything is in ace, miracle. Miracle means act of God.
The anesu teva arois.
Coincidence is the God's attempt to remain anonymous. That's the expression.
God's, that's Shakai, Sha'amar Le'olamoi Dai. I don't want my name on this world. I want to be anonymous. All right, Atkan, let's now go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Beis. Atkan Akof Aleph. Rabbi Sai, we spent a lot of time on this first Pasuk. Okay, Rabbi Sai. Okay, let's move ahead. Time to move ahead. Nochoin kisacha me'oz me'oilom oto. Your throne, kisei, the kisei covered with something that was a very mystical concept. I always tell you the word kisei in Tanakh appears to be exclusively used in reference to authority. A chair, it's called a moishav or a mishkav. There's no, that you're right, all now sitting on a moishav. That is the biblical word for a chair, a moishav. A mishkav is a bed, period. Kisei is a throne. It automatically, the seat of authority.
Correct.
The seat of authority. So when it says over here, the place of authority?
You're calling it a seat.
Lahavdil Elif, we always say this. I know, by Mayevsky, you like this part. Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolos, the President of the United States, he's the Oval Office. But when he is in transit, so Air Force One is the seat of authority. When he's a helicopter, Marine One. When he's an automobile, Beast. What do they call the Beast? They call it Beast. What is it called, the official code name? Wherever the President of the United States is, that is the seat of authority. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, there are two terms. When he is at home, he's Yoshev Al HaKisei. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in transit, he is in the Merkava. The Air Force One, by the Ribbono Shel Olam, is called Merkava. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world, be anywhere other than on the Kisei HaKavod? Because when we are in pain, Hashem says, I don't want to be, Imoy Anochi Bitzara. If my people are not at home, they are in Golos, they're in America, they're in Flatbush, then you know something? I don't want to sit in my throne. I don't want to sit in my house either. I want to Imoy Anochi Bitzara. I'm in my Merkava. I'm going to set up shop in my RV. The Ribbono Shel Olam has an RV. He's with us here in America, not in the Oval Office, the Kisei HaKavod. There's the Kisei and there is the Merkava. So we have to appreciate that when it says the word Kisei, it doesn't mean where Hashem is. Because Hashem, at times, cannot be in the Kisei. Hashem can be in the Merkava. And that means the Kisei is empty, it's unoccupied. So when it says the word, and it says so, Hashem is Yoshev al Kisei. Hashem has to be not just enough that there is a Kisei. Hashem has to be Yoshev al Kisei. This spooky stuff.
Exercising the his authority.
Oh, exercising the authority. Right?
There are plenty of examples in English of this, like the county seat, a congressional seat,
right.
so on.
A chair in a college. A committee. You occupy a professor. There's an endowment. An endowment. Someone gives a couple of $1 million, and then they hope every year they should get the investment should bring forth enough to pay the salary of the professor. The chair has been endowed. There's a professor who they do this now in yeshivas. A lot of yeshivas are getting into this business of collecting enough money to endow a position, a rebbe. A rebbe, his salary should be secure. Nothing is secure, but there should be enough money in a fund that will safely pay the Rebbe's salary for the next 10, 20 years, hopefully. So same idea, there's a chair, there's a term which is used all different many examples. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, nochon. Nochon is probably my favorite Hebrew word. Rabbi Yisai, nochon means correct, right? In modern, any Israelis here? Nochon. You go in Eretz Yisrael and you say, Nochon, you say, correct. You go and you make a political argument with someone and they say, nochon, correct. So that's not what it means over here. The word nochon in modern Hebrew means correct. It is not what it means in biblical Hebrew. Nochon means established.
Yeah.
It's a difference between the word correct and the word it is established.
Prepared.
What?
Prepared.
Prepared? That's hachonah.
No, it means established.
Prepared and established are related, obviously.
Is it
mochon? Mochon is an abode. Mochon? What is the word mochon? What does mochon mean? Mochon means an organization. A mochon. How it's spelled? A mochon, an institute, and a something that is established. Yeah, an institute that is established. Machon l'shifticha. Okay, let's see. Right now, let's focus on the word nochon kisacha me'oz. When is oz? Oz means creation. Me'oilam ota. Now, the word the oilam means, and it will last forever. The word oilam, we had this many, many times. Sometimes the word oilam, the same way we usually use oilam in going forward. Le'oilam va'ed u'lenetzach nitzachim. When we use the word oilam, we generally use it going forward in time. However, the word oilam can also mean going backwards in time. Go back infinite.
Isn't one le'olam and the other is me'olam?
I don't know. Maybe. So here you have the word me'oz, and you have the word me'olam. What ought to you? What does this mean? Look at the Mitzvah Stavid. The Mitzvah Stavid Pasuk Beis writes, me'oz, me'es barosa ha'olam, creation. Me'olam, he repeats poetic repetition. He's saying the word may. You say that whenever there's a may, it means going backwards, infinite time. May olam miterem barasa olam, which means even before creation. Oz, he says, is 5,784 years ago. The way we count, lefi minyan shana moinen kan in Brooklyn, New York. 5,784 years is me'oz. And what does it mean, me'oilam? Before that, going back an infinite amount of time, which is beyond our comprehension, that is me'oilam. Mitedem borosa ha'oilam oto hu, you exist. Two words, and they don't mean the same thing. Oz is creation, and me'oilam means from before creation. Rashi, af me'oz no Rashi. Now let's look at the translation of the Targum. Misakan kursiyoch. Okay, you have established your throne. Min likadmin, and min olma at eloko. It doesn't really translate. Okay, he just translates those two words. They're really the same thing. Likadmin means from before, kodam, and then min olma. He's not really giving us more insight. And min the word olam min olma, from olma, you are at, you are eloka. He adds in one word over here into the Targum, the word ota is God. You are, don't make a mistake over anything that you referring over here to some who knows what. You, Hashem, have existed from time immemorial. What does Radak say? Pasuk Beis Nachon Kisach Meos, Oz Yakidu Ki Nachoinu Kisei Malchuscha. Then it was recognized that your throne is established. Meos Nusach Acher Meod Umi Olam Ata Kolema Koydim Olam Ata V'Yata Bras Olam. You created the world. Okay, so we pretty much all say the same thing. Look over here on the bottom of the page in the Likutei Shas. I think we had this a number of times, the same exact medrash. Nachon kesach me'os shiva dvarim nivru koydem shnivru oilam. It was seven things created before the world was created. And what are they? Elohein Toira, Usashuva, Gan Eden, Vigehinoim. Here is what's no relevant for us, the Kisei HaKovoid. The Kisei HaKovoid, this all mystical stuff, existed before the world existed. Ubeis HaMikdash, Ushmoy Shal Moshiach, Kisei Kavod, Dechsev, Nochon Kisacha, Me'oz. This is the Makar, that the Kisei HaKovoid existed before Maisei Bereshis. Look quickly in the Malbum. Malbum, page 844, Nochon HaShemayim Nikroim B'Shem Kisei Hashem. Okay, so this already is a little off the beaten track. Who would say this, except for the Malbum, that When you talk about the Kisei HaKavod, so right away, most people, they tune out. Anything that you can't relate to, you tune out, right? Like I once heard someone say, a very big rabbi, whenever you talk about the Shar Shirois, the Migbalois, you know, the different sukkim in Parashas Tetzaveh, the gold chains that connect the Choshen to the Mishpatzois and the Shar Shirois, all the most people, they tune out. Because unless you spend a lot of time learning Rashi and understanding what's going on in the Pasuk, you have no clue what this is talking about. So whenever you deal with concepts that you have no understanding of, you tune out. So when you talk about the Kisei HaKavod, okay, I'm out of here. I don't know what this is. This is mystical stuff. I have a hard enough time understanding it, just how to, you know, get directions to go from one place to another. I'm not on a level to understand this. He writes over here something that is utterly shocking. Shocking. And he says, you know what the Kisei HaKavod is? The Shemayim. HaShemayim Nikroim B'Shem Kisei Hashem. Shemayim, the heaven? You look up in the heaven. You look up in the sky. Today it's raining, you can't see the sky. But you look up and you see, you know, the what? HaShemayim Kisei The earth is his footstool. The Shemayim is the Kisei HaGolui V'yodua Lifnei Kisei Chavodecha. The heaven, the Shemayim. Okay, B'Shem Kisei K'moshe Kasuv Hashem B'Shemayim Heichin He established Kisei V'hu Hanhogas Mareches HaShemayim Shal Piv. The Mareches HaShemayim, the sun, the moon, the planets, the constellations, this is all part of Hashem's Kisei. The Kisei is not a mystical thing. It is something that you can see. You can go out at night and look at the stars, look at the constellations. You can go take out books from the library, go online and study all the constellations. This is all the Kisei HaKavod, according to the Malbum. For whom Hanhogas Mareches HaShemayim Shal Piv Yanhig Olam Lifi Chuki Hateva Hakivuim, according to laws of nature. The Kisei Zoi Nochoi Meos Shemisheshe Sime Habriya Heichin Es HaKisei. You have established the Kisei. I'm turning the page now. I gotta turn the page over to Kisei. Shebe Emtso Usa, through it Yanig Kifi Chuki Hateva V'chol Zos Lo Yanig Al yidei hakisei levado shehi hamareches rak me'olam ata gam ata be'atzmecha nimsa me'olam lahanig shaloi be'emtzuus hakisei rak al yidei hanog acheres nisiyis hashkochiyis shemiyuchas elecha be'atzmecha ata. In addition to there being the laws of nature, there's also divine intervention. And this is an utterly shocking, because over here it creates a whole new pshat in Maase Bereishis. Because look what we just learned. It says in the Medrash that there are seven things that were created, that existed before creation. And one of them is the Kisya Kovod. And if the Kisya Kovod is the Mareches HaShemayim, which means that when it says in the Pasuk, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Ve'es Haaretz, so already before day one, Vayom Elokim Yi, what is in the Yi Ar? Before the 6 days of creation, there already existed the planets. There already existed the constellations. I mean, what does that mean exactly? And then Vayom Elokim Yi Ar, and when it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Ma'or HaGadol, the Ma'or HaKaton, how does that fit into what it says that the Kisei HaKavod already existed before Maase Bereishis, and the Kisei HaKavod includes within it all of the constellations? It creates a whole new approach, a whole new study of Maase Bereishis. All right, everything okay? Okay, now let us go to the next pasuk. Nasu Naharos Hashem pasuk Gimel. Nasu Naharos Hashem. Nasu Naharos Kolam. Okay, now we're coming to water. Okay, this is a very big topic. Topic of water. Okay, Nasu pasuk Gimel. Nasu very short. Nasu Naharos Hashem. Nasu Naharos Kolam. Yisu Naharos Yachyam. What does this mean? Pasuk Gimel in the midst of this stuff. Let's move to all the pasukim over here. Pasuk Gimel. Nasu. To terrify them, to terrorize. The rivers raised up. Okay, and then it says Hashem nasu naharois. Hashem lifted up the rivers, their voice. Yisu Nahorois was raised, you lifted up the rivers, Dachyam. What does it mean, Dachyam? Shetifas Galehem, the flowing or the crashing of their waves. Now, I guess let's read another passage. Let's go to putting it in perspective. Let's read the rest over there. Mikoilois Maim Rabim Adidim, Mishbrayam Adir Bamarom Hashem. Pasik Dalim, the Mitzudis David, Mikoilois Aval. Yoiser mikolos mayim, the yoiser min mishbirayom, yechezak Hashem, Hashem is stronger, hayoyshev bamarom, velo yuchlu lechem, the goyim are unable to overcome HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk hey, edosecha ne'emnu ma'od, we'll go back and explain, your edosecha, which means your prophets, who say edos, ne'emnu ma'od are faithful, very much, leveischa, to your home, Na'ava Kodesh, an abode of holiness, Hashem le'oirech yamim. Let's read the Mitzvah David. Eidoi secha, divrei hanevim, hami'idim al hatashua, heima ne'monim ma'od. Your prophets, who say testimony regarding the salvation, are very faithful. V'yiyya le'veizchen will be for your bayis, noi v'yoyfi kedusha, v'sasmid, and it will continue to endure. Lo'orech yamim v'loy techer avod. Your base hamigdash will be beautiful, and it will endure forever. It will not be destroyed. Now, what is it over here? There are three pesukim over here. The three pesukim over here seem to be saying as follows. Number one is pasuk number gimel over here is describing the goyim. The mayim here in this pasuk represents the people who, the wicked people, and the wicked people make a lot of noise. Empty cans make a lot of noise. And then it goes on to say, and these empty cans, they are attempting with all of their power to destroy the world. But Ribbono Shel Olam, you are more powerful than them. And you will ultimately destroy them. And when this happens, when we eliminate the evildoers in this world, then, and this was predicted by your faithful prophets, then your bias in this world, your presence in this world, which will rest in your bias, will be beautiful, magnificent, and will endure forever. So that's the basic gist, the three psukim. Number one is that there are wicked people in this world that are trying to destroy the world and deny your existence. But you, Hashem, are more powerful than they. And this has all been predicted by the prophets. And while this will occur, that you will destroy these wicked people, Gesundheit, then everything will be good, there'll be a beautiful Beis HaMikdash forever. Now let's go back and try to read the Pesukim again in this context. Nasu Nehorois, period. Because there is over here a psik. Who are the Nehorois? These are the enemies of Hashem. The rivers, people that are, they flow like water. There's no end to these evildoers. They rise up, it would appear, against Hashem. I think you put the word, the psik over here is, that we want to separate, this is a very common theme in Nach. Anytime you have a word that is evil, that is next to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we put a psik to make it clear as day that Hashem is not evil. Okay, this is philosophy. In the world of philosophy, Apikorsis, there is a major thrust of the evil genius, right? That God, and I can't even say these words, there is an element of evil in divinity, which is pure, unadulterated apikorsis. But in the world out there, it's very common. It's very common, this type of concept. Because you look at this world is full of evil. And in order to demonstrate that in Yadus, it's sheker v'chaz of such an attitude, any time in Tanakh you have a word of evil that represents a koyach of ra, that is juxtaposed to Hashem, we put a psik. There is a vertical line to demonstrate a total separation. Lo yugurcha b'oyhalecha ra. In Hashem's abode, there is no such thing as evil. So the very fact...
Okay. If I can ask...
Yes.
What sounds like an odd question. If that's the case, then why isn't there another one after Hashem's name and to bracket him from the next one?
Because there's a verb. Nasu'u. The noun, we only do it between the noun and Hashem. Neharos is the noun. The word nasu is lifting up. It's not, you can't go, you don't, there's a limit to when you do it.
I know.
Right. So the Nehoros is evil. Just substitute the word Nehoros with evil. So, Nasu Nehoros Hashem. Evil, okay, I'm translating it backwards, but the word Nehoros is next to Hashem. Evil have risen. So because evil is next to Hashem's name, we have no choice but to put a psik there. Then it repeats itself. Nasu'u has risen, Nehorois, Koilam, their voice. Even though the concept, the three words together, means evil, but because the word, the noun of evil is not next to Hashem's name, there's no need to put a psik, because the word Nasu. And then it says again, Yisu, Nehoros, the evil, they rise up, Dachyam, to destroy, to crush, to crush. Lashon Tzchukubi Rashi has a different shot. We have to read Rashi carefully. But according to the Mitzudais, let's go one thing at a time. The Mitzudais over here is telling the word Nehoros is nothing more than a metaphor for evil,
right.
Rishoyim.
As if you're threatened to be overwhelmed.
Right. Rivers, they rise, and the rivers have a quality of different times of the year, the height. They are higher or lower. When the moon, and depending on the year, when the snow melts, the level, the water level of a river is never the same. It's always in a state of flux. Goes up, goes down. Rishoyim come and go. There are tekufas in history when there is a ribui in the Rishoyim, and there's a time when there is less Rishoyim. So here, they rise up, the evildoers, against Hashem. Nasu Nehoros Kolam, they raise their voice, and they, three expressions, it's like, this is the way the world exists. Achut HaMeshulash, Loi B'meir Yinoteik. It's like a triple, braided, a triple degree threat, a triple threat in this world of Rishoyim. Yisu Nehoros Dachyam. And let's again read the mitzvahs very carefully one more time.
But whenever there is Hashem, God, can he throw it at them? I'm talking to you, Hashem. It's not part of the text. It's many, many times it's here. Nasuna wrote Hashem. And he says later, the Vimana Vakodesh. Hashem. The old Yamin. Hashem just put the name Hashem on top of the earth. The Khanna was called the old Yamin. And later on, in the other parable also, Ad Matai Reshaim, Hashem. It's not part of the text. It's just Hamashorer medaber el Hashem. So he throws the name Hashem many times in the middle.
It's thrown, okay, but I think according to...
Everybody says Hashem Leor Yamin, it's the God.
Okay, let's get there. Let's go through one pasuk at a time. Let's read, because this is a very hard pasukim. And because we say it so often, it's word that we should know what we're saying. Look at the midst of the stavit. Nasu, the chayz mefarish, shenasu kol ram. Who is this? Who is rising up with sound? So he explains, v'al ha'umois yoimar. The nations of the world, shenasu kol, they raise their voice al against the Jewish people, al Yisrael, to do what? Liyaram ulehafchidam, to terrorize them. Dochyam means to crush. Look at the mitzvah siyon. Dochyam miloshem daka v'shibarum, to crush, to pulverize. Vehei magalim, and what when you're dealing with water, what part of the water do we apply this term? The waves. Because when the waves come crashing down, that's called dochyam. The dochyam shetiva sagaleim, the shetiva means the torrent.
Yeah. Or even without waves.
The crashing.
A rising river.
Galeim of their waves. Okay, then, now next pasuk. Mikoilois mayim rabim. Avalyoisa, now here comes, so who comes to the rescue? So the Mayim Rabim is the Ribbono Shel Olam. See the metaphors? Nehorois are the enemies. The Mayim Rabim is Hashem. Okay, you would never know. Different types of bodies of water. You would think that one is an evil and one is even more evil. No. The Nehorois are the Rishoyim. The Mayim Rabim is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mikoilois Mayim Rabim Adirim. Mishbireyom adir bamarom Hashem mitzudos mikolos avol yoiser mikolos mayim the yoiser. I made a mistake. The mayim yoiser. So the mayim rabim. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. They're also the rishoyim. Yoiser mikolos mayim rabim. The yoiser ben mishbireyom yechazak Hashem. Hashem is stronger. Who's Yoshe Bamarom Velo Yuchlu Lochem, and the Goyim, our enemies, are unable to overcome. So let's say I made a mistake. So therefore, there's another two madregos. The Mayim Rabim Adirim is one category of even a greater category of evildoers. Yeah. And then there is the Mishbereyom as another category of evildoers. But more than that is the Adir Bamarom. Is the mighty one who is the most exalted. Who is that? That is Hashem. So in total, it would appear.
Hashem,
Adir Adi Reinu. We have a medrash on the bottom of here. Very beautiful. So we have over here. So Hashem is the Adir. Adir means the Adir. What is a good translation? The mighty Chazok means the Adir who is Bamorom, is exalted. And who is that? That is Hashem. You see, now you can appreciate more the contrast of why there is a psik. There's a psik because before we put the Nehorois is the wicked, and we separate the wicked from Hashem. Here, we don't separate the word, doesn't apply because the Bamarom is Adir Bamarom is Hashem. Okay, in any event, let's try to put this in summary. We have over here three different categories of wicked people. Of wicked nations. The first category is the Nehorois. They are category number one. Category number two are the Mayim Rabim. Okay, they're another league of wicked people. Mayim Rabim Adirim. Or, where do you put the comma? No, let's say Mayim Rabim. Then category number three are the Adirim Mishbereyom. Where do you put the word Adirim? I'm assuming I put the word Adirim with the word Mishbereyom. The Mishbereyom is category number three. Three levels of wicked people. The Nahorois. Number two is the Mayim Rabin. And number three is the Adirim Mishbireyam. And the Pasuk says, on top of all of that, who is more powerful than all three levels of Rishoyim is the coil of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Is the Adir Bamarom Hashem, the mighty one who is in the Morom Hashem, he is above them all. Take this to Mem. Above all of these three Madregos is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Look again at them, it's very hard. Look at the Mitzudah stuff again one more time. Mikoilos, Aval, Yoiser. It's the Mem, just that letter Mem. Yoiser, more than Mikoilos, the sounds, the noise that comes from the Mayim Rabim, and the Yoiser, more min the Mishbireyam. He's not telling us where to put the word Adirim. I'm assuming over here it's going on the Mishbireyam, there are the Adirim. More Yechezak Hashem. Hashem is stronger. Hashem is the one that is the Adir, who is the Bamorom. Who is the Adir in the Morom? It is Hashem. And he is more powerful than all of these wicked forces in this world that are rising up in their arrogance. That's what the Mitzvah Tavit says. I'm not making this up. Giving us three categories of wicked people. The Nahorois, the Mayim Rabim, the Adirim Mishbireyam. Above, and all of these bodies, these wicked people make a lot of noise and they attempt to terrorize the Jewish people. And Hashem says, I'm the boss here. I'm in charge.
Which one is the worst evil?
It would say the last, the Adirim Mishbireyam. They're the worst. That's the most powerful. When a wave comes crushing down, that's deadly. When a river rises, it's dangerous. When there's Mayim Rabim, waters that are very powerful waters, that's even more dangerous. But the waves, the mighty waves that come crushing down, that's the worst. And on top of all of these levels of wickedness exists the Adir, the mighty one, who is Bamoroim, and who is that? That is Hashem. He will silence and eliminate all of these. And how do we know this to be so? The prophets. Next pasuk, Edosecha, your testimony. Ne'emnu, Edosecha means those who give out your testimony. Who are the ones that relate the testimony? The prophets. Edosecha. The word Edosecha is Divrei Hanavim, the Mitzvah David, the words of the prophets, Hameidim, that have testified Al HaTeshua on the salvation that will come through the Adir Bamrim Hashem. Heyo, they are ne'emonim, they are faithful. Ma'o, they are very faithful. The Yiyeh Leveischa, and they have predicted that V'hoya Hashem L'melech Al Kol Aretz, Hashem will come. And when that will happen, what will it be? It will be Leveischa for your bias, which means the Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash, Klal Yisrael, it will be Na'ava. Na'ava means, like, the translation of Na'ava means beauty. The Mitzudot Sion says Na'ava Miloshen No'o V'yofi. There will be a beauty of holiness. This is a very unique expression. Because you
tranquil.
Okay, tranquil. That's peace. That's peace. This is very unique because show me somewhere wherever it says that Kodesh is beautiful. You don't put those two together. Kodesh is Kodesh. There's Kedusha, there is Tahara. You don't generally associate holiness and purity with beauty. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. There are things that are beautiful, and there are things that are holy, there are things that are pure. They don't necessarily go together. Here, we're putting together Na'ava Kodesh, a holiness of beauty. And this will, Na'ava, and also the word Hashem, period. And this will exist, the state of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holiness that is beautiful will exist forever. And the way we define forever in this pasuk is Le'orech Yamim. Let's go back to the Mitzudos David. Finish up the pasuk over here. Mitzudos David, Edosech, Divrei Hanavim, Hanamidim, Al HaTeshua, Hema, ne'emanim ma'od v'yiyya l'veischa, it will then be l'veischa noy v'yoyfi kedusha v'sasmid, and it will continue to exist l'aruch yamim v'loy tsecherav, or it will never be destroyed again. Okay, so that is the parish of the Pesukim Lefi, the parish of the Mitzudah Stavid, three categories of Rishoyim, described in terms of water, that make a lot of noise. Now this is what we said over many, many times, just to review the Yisoidos, is every liquid, this is a very good var, Lag Ba'omer, it's not all that far away. Lag Shemen Bar Yoichoy, Moshachta Ashrecha, Shemen Sosain Mechaverecha. Every liquid, when you pour a liquid, makes noise. I saw online recently, they put in some places, you know, they give speeding, you know, if you go more than 35 miles an hour, you get in the mail a nice $50 ticket.
Right.
Was anyone here so fortunate to have bizoichet to such a ticket?
Oh, few.
Few? What? And now it used to only, you know, the cameras used to only be in this neighborhood, only used to go be on weekdays, workdays between 6 or between 8 and 5, no more. So profitable, they decided 24/7. Meshugah, Mahamish, unbelievable. Unbelievable, okay. Okay, so whatever the situation is, but now I know they have now a new meter, I saw this online, where it's a sound. Not speeding. If you go by on a motorcycle and you don't have a good muffler and you make a loud, loud sound, it right away it measures the decimal level. You should go to wedding halls. And it measures the decimal level of sound. And if it's too loud, the camera.
I saw it in Pelham, New York. It said muffler sounds will be.
Right.
Will be calibrated. And the troopers give out tickets.
And you get a ticket in the mail. If your automobile is making too much noise, sound pollution, I told you 311, the most common complaint, more than anything else, according to what I've read in the news, is 311, noise pollution. If you're making too much noise, the car is going down, the camera is triggered, and it takes a picture, a video, and they investigate, and they send you a ticket in the mail, sound. Every liquid that you pour, you take up a coffee and you pour, it makes a sound. Every liquid that you, there's science to this. Every liquid, which liquid makes the most noise?
Water.
And which liquid makes the least noise?
Water.
Water makes the most noise. Niagara Falls, I've never been there, but in the pictures that I always see, everyone is wearing.
And it's only a 25% power.
Everyone is wearing ear protection. Because the sound of water crashing, large amounts of water, is deafening. Oil, shemen zayis, or olive oil is the least, it seems. Shemen zayis, if you pour shemen zayis, silence. You cannot hear a word. Water and oil represent the extremes in Chazal's understanding of sound. Of sound that is emitted through the pouring, the movement of these liquids. When we deal over here with the wicked, why is the metaphor water? Why? Because water makes noise. The Rishoyim make a lot of noise. Empty cans make a lot of noise. And godless greatness is shtika. Why was Aaron anointed with the Shemen HaMishra? Moshe Rabbeinu, he anointed Aaron. Because Aaron has the koyach, it was just a demonstration when Aaron suffered this week's parasha. The tragedy that his children died, Aaron demonstrated his midah, Vayidem Aaron. He was silent, quiet. It just goes to prove he deserves to be Nimshach with the Shemen HaMishra. Hu asher dibra Hashem b'kroivai ekodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a little bit of an extreme drush, but Moshe Rabbeinu, you have in Rashi again and again in this week's parasha, last week's parasha, the parasha before, that Moshe keeps on telling Klal Yisrael, ki chein tzuvesi. I know all of you guys have complaints, nepotism. Why am I appointing Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol? Why am I the Melech? Korach. Kolam kulam kudosh musach mashabal mutis nasu bekal Hashem. There is a constant issue in the Torah of nepotism. Why are you, Moshe, taking for yourself, you and your family, all of the positions of authority to become the melech, become nimshach with the kohen gadol? And Moshe has to again and again tell them, I am not doing this on my own. Hashem has commanded, Hashem knows who he wants, and he wants Aaron to be the kohen gadol, and the kohen gadol is nimshach with the Shemen HaMishcha. David was nimshach with the Shemen HaMishcha. And as proof, as proof, sometimes Hashem proves it to the world that they are worthy is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a very difficult situation and they don't complain and they're quiet, they're silent. Vayidoim Aaron was a revelation that indeed Aaron deserves. It was Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. It was the first day of the inauguration, and people had in their heart complaints. Why Aaron? Why not me? And then Rachmana Litzlan, Aaron suffered a horrible tragedy, and he was quiet. And when people saw the way he behaved, he was silent, and he didn't complain and say, "Ribono Shalom, this is not fair. Zelo fair. How could you do this on this day?" And Aaron was makabel the gzera. Vayidaim Aaron, oh, everyone in Klal Yisrael says he taka deserves to be nimshach with the Shemen HaMishcha, because the Shemen HaMishcha doesn't make any noise. It's silent. When you pour oil, there's no sound. When you pour water, oh, it makes a lot of noise. Okay, that's a very big issue today, you know, in plumbing and in construction today. Today, everyone, you know, you have the olden days, you have metal pipes. Metal pipes used to be lead. Now, chas v'shalom, now they're steel pipes. And in construction, no one wants today. The plumbers don't want to put in metal anymore. They put in PVC, plastic. It's a fraction of the price, and it doesn't break your back to go schlep a pipe, even a pipe this size. You know how heavy they are, and you know it can take weeks to do the plumbing, to do put in plumbing every single pipe in the whole house. Metal pipes, it takes forever. You can do a plumber told me you can do a whole house in one day with PVC, a whole new house. 1, 2, 3, the PVC goes like a charm. Why don't people know it lasts very long? The PVC lasts forever. It'll outlive, just last. Why don't people want it? Why is it cheap? Because when you flush the toilet, the whole house can hear. PVC, when you turn on the faucet, you hear the noise. That's cheap construction. A metal pipe, you'll hear nothing. You flush the toilet, you will not. You turn on the faucet, you will hear nothing. Metal, the water, the metal shields the sound that is flowing from the water. Plastic doesn't shield the sound at all. You hear it loud and clear. Loud and clear. So there is this very important principle that water is associated with noise. Oil, there is no noise. Bar Yochai, what was Bar Yochai? Rashi Bar Yochai, he was silenced for 13 years. He was quiet. He was silent. He was able to hide and be quiet in the cave. Where did he become who he became? He became the way he became. He became to the greatness of Rashbi during those 13 years hiding in a cave. He was silenced by society. Bar Yochai, Moshachta. You are anointed with Shema Moshachta. What does it mean, Moshachta? You were silenced. You developed who you became during the 13 years when you disappeared from society. Because of the government wanted to kill you, you were able to hide yourself. And that was a gather of vayidoim. And whenever there is silence, that's where the oil goes. Oil is associated with no sound, an absence of sound. Here, we're dealing with rishoim, who make a lot of noise, empty chatter. And that's why we describe them as rivers, as Mayim Rabim, and the thunderous sound of the waves coming and crashing down. We have to also appreciate that the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he wants, also makes noise. Kol Hashem Amayim, Kol Hashem, the Mizmar L'David, we mentioned over there, all the different things we mentioned over numerous sounds, because the Ribbono Shel Olam also, when he wants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with deafening sound. But ultimately, the kol demama daka. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates, it's always through the kol demama daka, and the sound is just the dressing. It's window dressing. It's not as the yikar. Okay, so this is over here is what we're learning over here in the Mitzudas. Tomorrow we're going to do the Rashi and the Targum and some other nice chidushim to finish off this mizmor. Let's take a short break.
Couple of quick
things. Yeah. Wait a minute. First important thing. Is today voting day?
What?
Today is voting?
Early?
No,
it's primary day.
Today's primary day? Today's the last day to vote? Who should I vote for?
Somebody asked me that. I said a protest vote.
So who's running? Who's running? Biden?
Are you
I'm a Democrat, yes.
So you can vote against Biden if you
yes. Want. Is there anyone else I should vote for?
No.
There's only one person to vote for today?
Yes, the other offices are until, I think, June.
The only thing you vote for today is...
It's only the presidential primary.
And is anyone running against them?
No. Yeah, there are names on the ballot.
Okay, who should I vote for? I'm going to write in
matter.
Mike Miller.
It doesn't matter. Okay, a couple of quick things. First of all, I have to go to a little bio something.
Arnie, he's come down here.
Okay. You should read this. My theme here, God's Wardrobe.
Okay. Okay.
I thought I sent you my... But yeah, yesterday you talked about, what did you say, newlyweds bringing matzah to the parents?
I never said that.
Yeah, you did.
The own matzah. I didn't say newlyweds. I say in Eretz Yisrael, boys and girls, seminary boys and girls, when they eat by home.
My mother was married because, you know, I said, in that case, that's what the saying comes from. Matzah isha, matzah tov.
They moved the country to Europe.
What?
They're moving the country to Europe. I know if I mentioned you last week, you said the Abravanel makes a point to say. No, it's not the Abravanel. I'll shave it so fast. It says the reason.